Well, it's the steering committee, and we're back not post holidays because we still have New Year's coming up.
Yeah.
Completely forgot that was a holiday. I'm so off my schedule right now. Doug, my car is with our friends at Denver Auto Shield right now, the GT4. It's getting paint mm-hmm. correction, PPF, and ceramic coating. And they called today and they said, well, what time are you going to come by tomorrow? And I remember thinking, what does it matter? Well, it's New Year's Eve. So, probably by the time you hear this, it'll be the new year. But happy New Year to everyone. Happy New Year to you, Doug.
Happy New Year to you as well. Yeah. Well,
thank you. You're calling from the mountains tonight. I'm in my basement and you're at a ski chalet.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. So this is a very tough life we live here. Just when it's time to record this, we just flip it open and I can just sit on this nice couch and this nice house up in the mountains. And
well, and you're near Vail. You're near Vail.
Yeah, we're in Eagle, in a place called, just outside. It's actually Eagle Gypsum. So
is that between Vail and Beaver Creek? I'm trying to remember.
No, it's on the far side. So it's so you hit Vail first.
Okay.
I think it's Avon, then you hit Edwards, and then Eagle. So
okay. Yes, so and Avon is where Beaver Creek is.
Avon's where Beaver Creek is. I skied at Beaver Creek yesterday. So
nice. And I was telling you, I think sort of been out of the loop. Some of the big news here in Denver is that someone apparently sabotaged the natural gas in Aspen, and so no one has had gas for the past few days. It's terribly cold. And like I was telling you before we got on, it was fun watching the news, this like line of Range Rovers and Geländewagens in line, at like the city building to pick up their free electric heaters.
Some of those houses are quite large. Do they get
that's right. Yeah. I imagine them saying, what, just one?
It's like, what about my second wine cellar? How am I going to keep that?
That's right. Sure. Well, those fine wines appreciate the cool air, I think. But so you actually are nice and toasty where you are, and you went skiing.
We've had no interruptions from any of our major services. In fact, the internet at this cabin is faster than it is at my house in Denver. So that's interesting. Yeah.
Well, you don't ever have to leave. And you're there with family. You've got your wife, your kids, your father-in-law. Mm-hmm. Mother-in-law, I assume, is there too. The whole squad, brother-in-law.
We got all the in-laws are here.
I bet that's a nice
mother-in-law. It's been great. We've had a really nice couple of days here. Like I said, I got to go skiing yesterday, which is my first time in the season. That's always good. So, a little bit weird. Just skiing is going to be a little bit weird this year with COVID. I can tell you that. So, the ski lodges are a little tough because they're trying to limit the number of people who go into the lodge.
Yeah.
Everyone is freezing and they all want to go inside and they're like trying to tell them at the door, like, you can't sit here. You can't.
Yeah. In. Yeah. So. And at least it's not an entitled group, Doug. And you sent me some snaps of the new Defender. I saw my first one on the road a few days ago, the Bonnie Bray, neighborhood, of course, here in Denver, and you saw one here, but you saw a nice one up in Vail, snorkel and everything.
On our drive up the other day, I was behind one for a while, so I was admiring it on the road, and then in this little association where this cabin is, there was one parked next to where we pulled in to go. We went over to go ice skating a little bit at the skating rink, and there was a brand new one there, and they're definitely here. I mean, they feel like they've invaded. They're here. They're starting to show up.
No one ragged on this truck more than I did when I think the renderings were announced or the show car or whatever.
Me too.
And I will it was just there is too much going on. They've got all the little individual taillights and the crap hanging. It's like a utility, like what was it? Batman had the utility belt and he'd have the lasso and the hook and the whatever Batman had on his utility belt. But I sort of feel like that this truck is basically built to like snap shit on to the sides. And you can't let that get out of hand because the one I saw, and I think the picture of the one you sent me, it's got these like cases on the side. It's got hooks and ladders and lights and shovels and it's too much.
I think there's this Explorer pack that a lot of people are getting, and that's when you get the you get that box on the passenger side, you get the ladder on the driver's side. And then this one today had a snorkel on it, which was interesting. It was a really aerodynamic one from the front, but then on the back, it had like the, on the back side of it is where it had the intake.
Well, Doug, that journey from I-70 westbound to the resort is a perilous one. It's kind of like the Camel Trophy, right?
We were lucky to get in here.
Speaking of, if they come out with an orange one, a Camel Trophy or whatever they would call it now, I'm totally buying that. Yeah. You've seen how the prices have come up on the old discos and,
The thing to do is to wait sort of when they hit that like 5 or 6 year depreciation trough and then buy it then and then just know it's going to come back up again. So I think also when we were looking at the, I think one of our first or second episodes, we talked about it, but I feel like it's the two door one that I think still looks a little bit weird. The four door I think looks pretty good.
Yeah. And the steel wheels
looks better less, you know, stuff bolted onto the side of it. I think it's great that they make that even an option, but it's even just, you know, steel wheels or not, but just like a basic four door, you know, the long, I think they're calling it the 110, you know, I think it looks pretty good. It has good presence. I mean, yeah. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of them in the Denver area. I think.
For sure. And I think if I'm not mistaken, watching DeMuro's show, I think the steel wheels might only be available on the smaller engine. So I think it's a smaller engine has a turbo four and, larger is a turbo six, but he seemed to think that the smaller engine one was a little underpowered. But I think a vehicle like that is not. Although apparently it's a really luxurious ride. It's really the best of both worlds. But I still haven't seen a Bronco, full size Bronco yet, and I don't know if they're actually out. But that'll be my next big spot.
And I think those will also. I think we're going to see a lot of those in Colorado too.
And Doug, I think people listening realize how good we sound tonight. We're using a new product called Squadcast, and it's awesome. But I can see you, I can see myself, and I can see how I can see my receding hairline. About this. I'm not going to blame it on the
it's too high def.
I don't notice it on Zoom.
Zoom. Yeah, I didn't think there was a problem when I was using Zoom.
Can I put a soft filter on me in this program, or is that?
We're still figuring that out. That is an option. That might be the premium package, though. Yeah, makes all the flaws go away. You know,
so. I've got nothing to hide but this receding hairline, I guess. But anyway. So you're having fun. I'm here. Can't wait to pick up the GT4 from Denver Auto Shield.
So it'll be ready tomorrow. That's nice.
So of course my dilemma is, will the streets be clear? You know, I don't want to get stuck on the way home. Our side street still has a lot of snow, but I also don't want to get the thing dirty. You know, I'm spending a decent amount of money to get this thing looking nice, and I don't want to take it out. So my plan is, assuming that it'll be winter weather here for a while, put it in the garage for a little bit, but we'll see. You never know in Colorado. It might be 60 degrees next week, and I want to take it out.
We get these weird. I mean, I noticed the other day a lot of people were taking out their sports cars. It was like some really warm day.
I saw the craziest cars that day before it snowed. There was some really good stuff out there. But I'm curious to get the car back. I'm sure it'll be beautiful. You know, I had a friend ask me, "Well, why are you getting the car, you know, paint corrected? It's brand new or whatever." And well, the paint looks good to me. You know, I have learned, especially having owned a couple of black cars, that you know it's really important, especially before the car gets full of stone chips and things, to get the paint correction and then get the paint protection film, which will help at least in theory against stone chips, and then they seal it all up with the ceramic coating. So I've spent a lot of time on YouTube the last couple of days, really sort of getting into detail on some of these things, and it's a good chunk of change up front, but I think I'll be glad to have in the long run. This is a car I say it now, this could be a forever car,
No, it's an investment. I mean, you're investing, trying to protect the assets. So.
I was looking at my insurance document or whatever, the statement, just seeing what my coverage is, the new car and stuff. And surprisingly, this didn't go up a whole hell of a lot over the base came in. But one of the things I noticed was that our insurance agent has this car down for 12,000 miles a year. And there's no way, right? So I said, I might drive this car 3,000 or 4,000 miles in a year, right? Can you can you bring that figure down and save me some money? And she said, oh, sure, we can put you down. But in fact, I can drop $40 a month off that insurance. But you have to use this app. And I said, well, is that the one that plugs into your I don't call it the USB port. It's the, what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
What the hell is that thing called? Yeah. But it's this thing, this device, right? And I said, well, apparently they don't even need that device anymore. It's just an app you open on your phone. And now the phone, has a gyroscope or whatever. It can sense G forces and acceleration and braking and all that. And I said, well, there's no way in hell. You realize it's a GT4. I'm going to blow that thing up. There's no way I'm going to let you monitor my driving. Not even in my daily driver. I am so against that on principle. And so she said, and I don't know that this is necessarily true, but she said, well, in a couple of years, you won't have a choice. And I said, okay, well, you'll no longer be my insurance provider. So I went to Hagerty, and Hagerty's not a sponsor, but I went to their site and priced out the cars, and I was really surprised. Hagerty allows for things like that, seasonal use, collector cars, low mileage and stuff. And as long as you have one sort of flagship car, if you want to call it that, sports car, collector car, you can then piggyback your daily drivers onto it too. And I was really surprised. I thought I had a good rate, and Hagerty beat it. So we'll see. State Farm, if you can't get your act together, Hagerty it is. But that's anyway.
Thing. So they do. So Hagerty requires you to have like what they call like a, like you said, like a flagship car.
Yeah. And that's the impression I was under. Yeah.
I guess that made, as soon as you were saying that, I was really wondering, like, where do we draw the line on the, like the flagship?
I think they draw the line when you go to their little pull down menu, and if your car isn't there, then that doesn't count. So,
like someone very proud of their on the fence. I'm trying to think what's an example of like an on the fence kind of car, and it's like he goes to try and get insurance for Hagerty, and he's just denied. It's like nope,
your car's not right because I think like a Porsche 924 is on there, right?
Okay,
you can. That's one of the Porsches. You can probably still pick up a rough one for a couple thousand dollars. But I don't know that there would necessarily be an STI on there that might be $55,000. So I don't know. I'll have to explore further. But Hagerty might be my new insurance provider. If
all right. So apparently the 718 GT4 was on there. So you're good to go.
It was on there. But I'm trying to explain to my insurance agent that she's wonderful. She's very pleasant, but she couldn't really comprehend the idea. Why would you go buy a new car and not drive it very much? But
significantly more expensive car and then not drive it. And you're like,
well, it's us against the rest of the world, isn't it, Doug? Like, I mean, you either get it or you don't. I enjoyed watching Peterson. My dad sent me a link. Shout out to my dad. Peterson Autumn Museum, a place I've never been in LA. I'd love to go someday, but they did a virtual Porsche Concours Cars and Coffee. And they had about 50 people send in short clips of them and their Porsche. And really heavy on the 914s for some reason, like really strangely heavy on the 914s. And I think there was a 924 too. Didn't see any GT4s, but it was interesting to see what people are driving. And I was pleased to see that one of the guys not only had a Fuel Fed sticker on the back of his 911, but also gave a shout out to Fuel Fed. Fuel Fed is my car group from Chicago, and I sent the link to Brian Hughes in Chicago, who is the group's founder. I said, "Yeah, go to minute 25 and check it out." And he said, "I will, but in the meantime, here's a Cars and Coffee we did recently." And so he sent me the link to I will never get this name. What's the Porsche is the air cooled? It's the Auto Luftfeuchtigkeit. Is that my saying that
Porsche? And there is they have a word for water cooled ones, but I don't know it off the top of my head.
Yeah, well, see, no one cares about that. It must not sound as cool. But and Brian, if you happen to listen, you do such a good job with the group, and even the video was I mean, it looked like a Petrolicious video. I'll have to send you the link later, Doug. But anyway, if you're in the Chicago area and you are into cars the same way we are, check out Fuel Fed. It's a selective group, but they don't have to let you in. but at least check it out, and you can maybe attend some of the Cars and Coffees. It is really truly one of the premier.
You've sent me some pictures of just some of the random get-togethers they have, even in the middle of the winter, and you're still seeing some amazing stuff coming out from that group. I mean,
Chicago's about the worst place to be a car enthusiast in some ways, but the community is great. Lots of opportunities for, great sort of garages and workspaces and stuff, but man, the roads are terrible. And it's a hike to get out of town to drive anywhere really worth driving. But
well, I was going to say, I had a bone to pick because you mentioned it might be one of the worst places to, to be into cars. I feel like I have to at least our small audience, I have to correct something from that Matt Farah, our esteemed colleague, at one point stated about Boston. Someone wrote in and asked about a sports car choice for living in Boston. And he said, the roads in Boston are terrible. Think about this, cobblestones. They have cobblestones in Boston because it's an old city. And I'd just like to point out to at least our audience that although there are a few roads in Boston that are still cobblestones, it's a very small percentage of the overall road. Most of them are just regular.
Well, right. And I would argue that, I've been in some cobblestone streets and they're generally free of potholes, but, or it's a small pothole.
True.
Right?
That's true. Yeah.
Well, Chicago doesn't have a ton of cobblestone streets, but there are actually a couple of side streets or alleys that are actually date from like pre-Chicago fire, as I understand it. I've actually seen these, so it's not just as I understand it, but they're basically like 2x4s laid on their end, and so there are these super tough sort of surfaces that are probably predates brick or whatever. But
I mean, like wood. Like it's actually wood.
Yeah, think about a bunch of like 2x4s cut at 6 or 8 inches and stuck end to end in the ground, and they have a couple of alleys that are paved like that, just from back in the day, and it's so durable. They're original. It's amazing. But there's a term for it. I don't know. Someone listening will know. But you're in Vail. You saw the Defender. Surely, even in the winter, you've seen some other great cars since you got there.
Not especially, to be honest. It was snowing. So we got up here the other day. It's been pretty clear. But then when I left to go ski, it was snowing. So didn't really see anything too crazy.
Red Bull tires, I suppose.
Oh, the red plates, as I call them.
Yeah, the red plates. Red plate Tahoes and Suburbans, I suppose.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to think. I didn't see anything great.
Can you coin that term, Doug? I mean, I know what you mean, but I've never heard it.
What's that?
I've never heard it like, phrased like that, like the red plates. Yeah. Here in Colorado, generally speaking, not always, it's not a rule, but generally speaking, if you see a rental car and that it's registered in Colorado, it's got a red license plate. So it's very obvious. It seems to me like 15, 20 years ago, that was the case in Florida. And then all these like German tourists were getting slaughtered and they got rid of that. But apparently we're still good here in Colorado.
They were having a big problem with carjacking. Yeah.
Yeah.
They would look for the cars. They would have like an Enterprise sticker on it or something. Or like
right.
Something
right.
So the red plate doesn't automatically mean rental car, but it's like a fleet rental or it's a fleet.
Right. It would be like in the power company trucks too, or whatever.
Exactly. Or, if for some reason, if you had your own leasing company or something like that, you would have red plates, I guess, or company cars could be red plates. But
right.
I mean, you see them to me, it's like when I see them like, trying to do a 17 point turn in their giant SUV that they're rented to drive up to the mountains. It's like, I know it means it's a tour.
Right. And believe me, and I was the same way when we came out here to visit, a few times, a couple times before we decided to move out here. It's very important when you fly into the airport in Denver that you get like a Jeep or something as a rental car, because that just seems like what you do, right, in Colorado. But
here's a top tip for anyone coming to Denver. If you're not leaving the Denver area, you really don't need four-wheel drive.
Well, that's what I was going to get to.
Yeah. But if you are going up into the mountains, which many people are when they come to Colorado, it's not a bad idea. But if you're driving around Denver is very mild and generally and very flat, and you don't really need four-wheel drive for that.
I will say that I think snow tires would be a much better investment by the rental companies. Everyone thinks they need an SUV, but what these people really need are snow tires. I swear, when you're driving 70, and if you ever drive in the winter, invariably there's a crash. I'm really working hard not to say the word accident. It really bothers me. It's so rarely an accident, Doug. Let's call them collisions, right, or crashes. Yeah. Call them for what they are. But it seems like 90% out of 10, it's one of these red plated cars, right? Because you fly in from wherever, you know, to go skiing, whatever, to be a tourist. You don't, you're not used to driving in the snow. And then you end up with some, you know, Hertz, I don't know, Toyota Tercel. They still make the Toyota Tercel. What's a better one? It's called a Nissan. With, probably vastly differently inflated tires and, I am not one for regulation and rules, as you know, but I would be happy to see them pass some sort of, I don't care if it raises rates or whatever. I think that in the winter months, that rental cars in Colorado should be equipped or at least have the option.
They do have a law. They do have, when they get to, when it gets to be snowy in the mountains, right, they'll throw up the traction, notice.
Well, so that's
you have to have either four wheel drive, snow tires, or chains.
But if you're a tourist, you don't know this, and take the car they give you. And
if you're a person just driving through the state at that time, you happen to get caught up in it. But they do, and I've always wondered how that would hold up to some sort of like scrutiny if anyone ever tried to challenge those laws. But
as I understand it, it's not a primary offense, right? Like but if you get in a crash and it's your fault and then they see you don't have all wheel drive or snow tires,
they'll never like see you drive by and be like, oh, I think that's a front wheel drive car without snow tires and pull them over. But they've already got you.
Time. If they can make money from it, Doug, they will. But
when they find you in the ditch though with your flashers on,
We're 20 minutes. Take a quick break and come back.
Let me tell you one quick story because it's related to this, and then we'll take a break. But this conversation reminded me. Shout out to my brother-in-law, Pat. We rented a house a couple of years back up a remote house that had like this unplowed road that we had to drive up to get to the house. And at the time, we were driving. It was near Steamboat, Colorado.
Head out from Colorado, or you don't know Colorado. Steamboat is north. It's almost to Wyoming, but it's a very It's what? It's probably an hour south of Wyoming, but it's north.
It's north and a little west of Denver.
Basically. It's a really pretty area. It's unique in that it's just a little different than most of the rest of Colorado. It's just a really pretty area.
Yeah,
anyway, I digress.
That's okay. So my wife and I were driving we had a 91 Toyota Land Cruiser. So we were okay getting through this is like unplowed.
The car you regret selling.
Like that. Yeah. What's that?
The car you regret selling.
Yes. Always. And still to this day. Yeah. As I see the prices of them just soar. My brother-in-law was in a Jeep Wrangler. Someone else was also in a different Jeep, and someone was in a Lexus RX 350. My brother-in-law, who's from Vermont.
Was it Matt Farrow's mom?
No. rolls in with a Nissan Altima, with just not winter tires, but all season tires.
Yeah.
And he made it up there no problem. I'm nervous in the Land Cruiser, which had all terrain like tires on it and everything. He's just like he just whipped it right up there like it was nothing. I guess that's how they do it in Vermont. So
Something to be said. There's something to be said about a lower, sort of center of gravity car in the snow, right? As long as you have the clearance, I definitely feel more secure, in something like a Subaru Outback, versus something tall and tippy. I don't know. I'm sure it's psychological or whatever, but when you're sitting up higher, every time you slide, it seems exaggerated, right?
That's true. Yeah. Every time I get out of the Legacy GT and get into one of our SUVs, I always feel like I'm riding on top of an elephant, like I'm going to fall off.
Right. That's kind of how it is.
I talked to Pat after he did this. I mean, and I'm not really doing it justice, but this road was treacherous. I was nervous at points. I thought we were going to get stuck in the Land Cruiser. And I was talking to Pat about it, and he goes, and this is probably true. He's like, well, he was definitely driving more like anticipating, like, okay, like this is a big hill. I'm going to I'm going to plan ahead and get up the hill. Like he was much more like situationally aware. He was like paying attention. He was like, you know, in the moment where, you know, a lot of people who have like a four wheel drive will just sort of like assume you just point in the right direction and we'll get there. You know, you don't put much thought into it. So.
The man's made of cheddar cheese and Ben and Jerry's. I mean, that's a man of substance.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we know about Vermont. So that's
all right. Let's take a break. We'll come back.
We're back, with steering committee podcast here with Doug Fogler and Ryan Barkey, and we're going to do our. It's the end of the year, so what do we have to do? We have to do our car of the year.
Yeah, this was not planned.
The very intense steering committee weighs in on the car of the year.
No, we took a break and literally said, what are we going to talk about next?
Yeah.
And I felt like I had been watching Motor Trend, Evo, some of the other, everyone's got their car of the year stuff going on right now. Motor Trend is interesting because they didn't do it all at once. They did a car a day for a few days, and they had all the heavy hitters, right? They had the I almost called it the Murcielago, the Huracan, Evo, the Ferrari, I'll never remember the name of the, is F8. That the F8? Yeah. Tributo, sorry. What else? The GT4, the new Turbo 911, et cetera, et cetera. And I think they chose the spoiler alert for anyone. They chose the new Corvette and it had excellent, you know, this was the one with the good suspension and all the track stuff, but the base engine and in it, I want to say it was as fast as the GT4. I mean, it should be, it's got a little more power, but it was within spinning distance one way or the other. So obviously a really good track car. And I think so. Yeah. My car of the year, the GT4, they chose the Corvette. I was hoping they'd choose the GT4, but because they didn't, I'm choosing it.
So just to be clear, your choice is the GT4.
100%. I put my money where my mouth is. What about you?
As I'm thinking this, I'm not sure if it actually technically counts because I don't think it's in production yet. But I'm just going to go ahead and assume that it counts because it's our podcast and we make up rules. It's the Ford Bronco for me.
Yeah. Despite seeing the Defenders, I think the Broncos is really going to be a cool car.
I'm impressed with the Defender, but the Bronco for me is the mass appeal it's getting from people. It's like reaching out to people who aren't into cars. It's into reaching out to people who do like cars. It's just, it looks like it's just on its looks alone. It's getting, it's just going to be a home run.
Yeah.
I've talked to so many people who are like not car people who are excited about it. So I think that's why for me, that's why I think it's like the overall just most important sort of car story of the year.
Yeah. And it parallels the Defender in so many ways, right? They're the two engine sizes. You can get steel wheels. You can really dress it up or dress it down.
Two and four-door versions.
For both
of them. I'd like to see a little bit more about how the Defender, I guess, handles. I assume I should do the same thing for the Bronco. But I just feel like the Bronco here in America just has so much of a deep, following, and people are passionate about it. And like I said, I heard this, a friend of mine was telling me how his boss, he's been very successful starting this company but always grew up very poor. And when he was a kid, like the Bronco was the dream car, and that he's been very thrifty so far in life. And he makes very cautious decisions with money, but you know, he was saying like, when I saw that thing, I was like, I instantly like slapped down a deposit. It's just like, it's like first splurge that he's going to treat himself to is this Bronco. So, you know, it's like that kind of story, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And it looks like they're actually offering some colors too, which is kind of neat. I'm a little disappointed though. You know, there's this Bronco Sport, they're calling it. And I know they sort of followed the naming convention of the Explorer Sport. So I think it's basically built on an Escape, but it looks tougher and all that. But why in the hell didn't they call it the Bronco 2, Doug?
Yeah, I know. I thought about that too. I was like, why not? Yeah, it's like
people say there's a negative connotation with the Bronco 2, but I remember the Bronco 2 being a very cool sort of competitor to the original Cherokee. You know, I always thought it was a neat vehicle. And much like this was really sort of just a smaller version of the big one, two-door only, if I'm not mistaken. And then I think it was effectively replaced by the Explorer when it came out, right? And what was that, 92 or whatever? But
if you get
a missed opportunity.
if you're ever in a Bronco Twos, but I guess especially a later one, and you look at the dash and the interior pieces, and you compare that to the first generation of the Explorers, it's like a lot of parts just came over from that to the Explorer. But yeah, I kind of agree with you. Now the Bronco Sports, I have actually seen one of those on the road. So those are available and those are out. They don't look bad. I mean, I think they look good from certain angles, but yeah, it's definitely like, that's the crossover. The Bronco is going to be the real.
Right. But apparently the Sport is very off-road capable and, you know, compared to, you know, maybe a lot of its competition, but, I have a Bronco story for you real quick. Many years ago, how many years ago? It was probably 8 or 9 years ago. Well, even longer now. God, I'm getting old, Doug. I had a 2001 Audi A4. It was a neat car. It had the big, the RS6 style wheels, you know, from the factory. It was a stick. It was a beautiful car. But I had my sights set on an S4. And so I put this car on, I think it was like the very early days of Facebook Marketplace or whatever, and ended up getting a call from a guy who I later found out was the boss of a friend and a guy I now work with. But he rolled up in an original Bronco with the top off and stuff. And and you know, I really, really like the car. It's actually nicer than I thought it was going to be. And but I just, unless you want to trade for this Bronco – and I'm, you know, that was the joke, like, oh, I would never trade my Audi A4 for a Bronco. And of course, the car at that time was probably worth $10,000 or $12,000, the A4, which, you know, apparently was more than the Bronco at the time. This wasn't that long ago. And I should have done the damn trade, because if I would have, you know, that A4 is probably worth $3,000 now.
Well, right.
Probably worth 40. So
held on to that would have been a very, very,
it just seemed like such a, I needed something, I guess, at the time that could get me to work. I was living in Chicago. I was working down in Hyde Park at the time, if I'm remembering correctly. And I needed a car that could, you know, was a real car, you know?
Yeah.
And I just was looking at this Bronco, and it just seemed absolutely like, you know, primitive. And, I guess I just didn't. I was a little too young to sort of grow up with, to have like the memories of that, of the old Bronco, right? I mean, the only Bronco memories I have are the OJ ones, right? And
by then, the OJ generation one.
Time. And yeah, it didn't have that cachet for me like it would now. But anyway,
I remember there. I mean, that's sort of my association. I've since gone back and learned more about that first gen, but I didn't really know about those growing up. It was always it's like the generation that covers it's like mid-70s, like 77 all the way through like 95 or 98, with one major sort of refresh in the middle of it. And it's, the most, you know, the most infamous of them being, of course, the O.J. Simpson Bronco, which I keep seeing that there's that supposedly the one that was actually, you know, used during that slow speed chase keeps popping up. It was on Pawn Stars at one point, and then I saw it on a different sort of show some attorney ended up purchasing it and owning it. He's trying to sell it, and I think he keeps trying to get he claims it's worth like millions of dollars. So.
Yeah, no.
I don't know if I can pay much for it. So
no, I don't. In fact, I would probably pay less for that one. But you maybe can take it on the road like the old like John Dillinger death car or whatever. You know.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of something like
that. Yeah, it's kind of morbid. Yeah. Do you remember where you were when that chase was happening? Because I still do, which is
– I can. I do remember, I was I was at a friend's house up in I lived in Massachusetts at the time, but we were at a friend's house in New Hampshire. And I think it was pretty sure it was like a graduation party, like a high school graduation party. And
Because it was summer.
It was in the like late spring or early summer or something. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, we were just hanging out there, and it came up on the TV, and it was just like, wow. Like, I mean, we were all like just transfixed with it for a while. So,
It was such a bizarre sort of thing just to take in and process, you know. Mm-hmm. And I knew who O.J. Simpson was, here's the problem. Here's the problem with the Bronco. Every conversation with the Bronco eventually ends up at O.J. Simpson, right? So, but no, I absolutely remember. I was up in Door County, Wisconsin. I used to work every summer up there. Family had a cottage up there, and I was, as I want to do, you know, I had a business idea that summer, and I was getting into mountain biking, and I had this idea I was going to print up these medical, like emergency medical labels. So you put them in, like, in your helmet. So if you crashed or whatever, you know, it would be an identifying, you know, mark or whatever. I was very proud of it. And the mountain biking thing is a big thing, was sort of fledgling and new. And there were a couple of big mountain bike magazines at the time, but there were, I wanted to advertise this product and I couldn't afford the two big ones. And so I went with this sort of up and comer, that eventually folded. But I remember being on the phone with a woman in Los Angeles where the offices of this magazine were, you know, trying to stretch my $110, whatever my advertising budget was, literally as the chase was going past her building. And, you know, we didn't have internet then, you know, I had no idea. We didn't even have a television signal. So it was all, that was how I got my information.
Could you hear it like through the phone? Like, could you actually like,
No, just receiver. Everyone, you know, she was saying like everyone's going to the windows, and no, I didn't hear any sirens or anything like that. But okay. No, I'll always remember that moment.
No, I was just saying though, but you were literally on the phone with someone from Los Angeles.
Yeah, well, something was like happening. Went. It it seemed kind of cool. To wrap up that story, you can ask me how many of those stickers I sold.
How many of those stickers did you sell, Ryan? Obviously,
one. I rented a post office box and everything. I was going to rake in the dough.
You sold one.
There's a reason that ad was so cheap. Yeah. Well, failed, you know, great ideas, inventions, business ideas, story of my life. Sometimes ask me about something called taxi share, Doug. We were Uber just a little too early, but anyway, ahead of the curve. That's my problem. Kidding.
No, that's your problem. But, you know, I think it was Thomas Edison that always said, like, you know, it's like he was the one who figured out how to create the light bulb, and he was always the one who was like, well, I figured out, like, you know, a million ways not to create the light bulb. Like, right, you know, that's like his attitude was like, you know, I learned like 100,000 ways not to create the light bulb before I found the one that did work. So, you know.
Well, and then he moved on to electrocuting elephants.
Really? Like to stun them?
It was like, you know, behold this new technology, electricity. And apparently that was the only way they could showcase it.
So
I don't know, maybe start with a goat or something. I don't know.
Yeah, they should have called it like how much power does this put down? Like how many elephants can this powerful thing out, you know, instead of like calling it amps, you know, or volts or something.
It was the late 1800s. They probably could have just used a street urchin or something, right? Would have been a lot cheaper. Please, sir, I have another.
Different time. Yeah.
Thank God for that.
He was given a warm meal and a hot drink beforehand, so it wasn't so. It was a pretty fair deal. So
best he ever had. Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we wrap it? It's been another 20 minutes. We're moving along. You want to take a quick break? Come back.
Yeah, let's take one quick break and we'll come back.
All right, we're back with the steering committee, and figured we hadn't really done a garage update in a while. I had to laugh. My shout out to my parents who sent me these two large boxes for Christmas, and had no idea what they were, and opened them up in their what these things are called just slipped my mind. These are like not velvet ropes, but they're like they have the expandable black sort of nylon belts, you know, like you have at the airport or the Porsche dealer. And the idea is to put them around my car as if the neighbors don't think I'm already a big enough douchebag. It's kind of funny. And
they send it as a joke, or do they send it because they think you might actually use it?
Well, a little bit of both, I think. Yeah. You know, and someday maybe when I have you know, a larger garage or whatever, you know, it'll come in handy. I told them, even at the Porsche dealer though, they only have them around the 918, right? So yeah. I need to go to the hardware store. I need to get some sand to put in the bases, so because otherwise it'll just fall right into the
car. Well, literally as you're saying that, I was thinking, like, I feel like the problem with that is that they're actually more likely to be knocked over onto the car.
Right. Well, I'll glue them down.
Yeah. until you get the bigger garage where you have like you can spread it out enough so that they have enough space to fall like without actually hitting the car. Like
right. it always makes me nervous. You go to like a car, like an auto show or even the dealer and just a Cars and Coffee. And some of these guys will have these like metal signs, you know, like you'd have in front of a conference room or something with like the information about the car at the dealer. Sometimes they have the ones that will go under the tire, which is probably the move, right? They're kind of locked in. But it makes me so nervous seeing some of these metal signs. These, I think, even if hit the car, would be okay. They're plastic or whatever, but rubber. But kind of funny. Yeah. You'll have to check them out when I get them up. But I do want to sort of build out the garage a little bit. I've been looking and scouring eBay and other places for some. You can't even find like a vintage Porsche sign or anything anymore for less than about $10,000. Wasn't always the case. Maybe I have to go the poster route or something. I would like to continue dressing up the garage a little bit.
Tell you what, it's confession time for me. I'll send you.
Well, I was going to get to. So I'm building up to this.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What's going on with your garage?
Oh, well, I was going to confess something to you about your garage. I got you a poster, a Porsche poster, and then I chickened out giving it to you. Yeah. So this is
I want a Porsche poster. I'm looking for this kind of. In fact, I mentioned Fuel Fed before because Brian, who founded Fuel Fed, is also a talented graphic designer and comes up with the coolest posters. And so I was going to hit him up with some stuff. But you chickened out. What is it?
I'm going to send you a picture of what I almost gave you, and I'll still give it to you if you.
Is there nudity involved?
Now I'm concerned that you're going to feel pressured to say that you like it.
So you didn't buy it?
No, I have it.
I see. Well, how bad can a Porsche?
I bought it off of Etsy, and I own digital copies of it, so I can print out as many as I want.
Oh, okay, cool.
But I just sent it to your phone. Take a look at it. Let's see
All right, I'm gonna look at the.
Now, be honest. I want you to say if you wouldn't hang it up, tell me that because I don't want you to take it now.
I can't imagine why I wouldn't. I thought you were gonna send me like the poster, like the tennis girl with like her like. I told Molly I threatened to get it was really making into a man cave and I'd get a bunch of stuff like that. Oh, that's amazing. That's awesome. Why wouldn't I put that on the wall, Doug?
Oh, well, yeah, then consider it yours. I'll next time I see you, I'll drop it off
well,
for
you. Want it. I don't want to take it from you.
I can print out another copy. It's fine.
That's awesome.
For our audience who obviously can't see this, it's sort of a graphic design but it's a Porsche 917 race car in the blue and white martini livery. It's
awesome.
There is
some cheesy Porsche stuff out there. This is awesome though. Thank you. Did you get it framed?
I feel like it's like you want it to be a little curated. You don't want to just take anything that they'll throw up there. But I saw this one. I liked it and I bought it. It was very reasonably priced and I got like five different sizes. I got the electronic files for this is the biggest one. It's called like A14, I think, size paper.
Okay. So you got it framed or did it come framed? I mean, that's amazing.
It's just a standard frame. Nothing special.
Thank you. I feel like I need to upgrade my gift to you.
No. That's the thing. So I had it and I was driving over and then I was like, oh man, like Ryan has a background in graphic design and art and I was just like, what if he doesn't like it and what if he feels like he has to put it up on the wall but he won't really like it? And I was like, I just chickened out basically. So.
No, it's amazing. Thank you. No, that's so cool. I mean, don't be offended if I put it in the garage, but that's where I can put it in this house.
That's where I'd expect it to be. No, I want to see it in the garage. Yeah.
That or down in the basement here would be pretty cool. I've got a spot. No, that's awesome. I mean, it's almost
I wouldn't be offended if it's in the garage. That's where I'm gonna when I print one out for myself, that's where I'll have it. So
it's fantastic. Thank you. And it's such a tough, sort of thing to navigate because you do go to a place like eBay or something, and despite the descriptions, 99.9% of that stuff is completely reproduction or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think this is 100% the route to go because even the vintage posters have become prohibitively expensive, right? Like the ones they would just give you at the car show or whatever. So this is awesome. That's fantastic. Thank you very much, Doug. Well, and
of course, yeah. I'll, so I'll, yeah. So I chicken.
Doug is a solid dude. In case you had any doubt.
Well, a solid dude who's afraid to give people presents, apparently. So that's a weird trait to have. So,
well, I think I scared you with what I gave you.
So tell the audience what you gave me for.
So we don't know Matt Farah, but we listen to him. I think if we met him, we'd get along fine. Maybe someday this show will take off and we'll be best buds or whatever. But he has gone on and on about Whistle Pig. I guess it's bourbon, right? Or no, this is rye. It's rye. Of course you know, he's got, I'm sure he gets given to him, or he's a man of wealth and man of means, I guess, wealth and taste. That's the devil, but right. Speaking of the Rolling Stones, anyway, but no, he, you know, for him, a $500 bottle of whiskey is probably not a big deal. If you go and you search for Whistle Pig, all these like $500 bottles of Whistle Pig. Well, but you didn't know, and maybe this is the swill that's left at the bottom of the barrel or something, but they have a much more moderately priced bottle as well. A small fraction of the stuff that Farah probably drinks. And so that's what I gave you, but it was all because of the connection to the, you know.
Yeah, no, you had it delivered to my house through one of those alcohol delivery services.
That's what you do in 2020.
Exactly. But it had the note in it that said, like, you know, just like Matt Farah.
Well, so they ask you for a message, right? What I didn't realize is they were going to, like, you know, put it in this, like, script font and you just had a baby or something, but I guess what I'm getting at is, please don't think that it was one of the expensive bottles, because it certainly wasn't. Think more along the lines of Maker's Mark or something, but
fair enough,
hopefully you'll let me when you crack into it, you'll let me try some.
Oh yeah, no, my plan is to, if we can ever broadcast together in the same room, we should just we'll try it together.
When we thought we had a vaccine, there's a new kind of coronavirus, apparently.
Yeah, there's a new one.
It's here in Colorado, of all places.
We have the first known case in America in Colorado here. You know, our poor governor, I feel like this guy just took over, and it's just been like one, you know, bad deal after another. He's just like, he's just been on the hot seat ever since he got in. So, He had to announce that they found the first strain of that UK variant here in Colorado.
Yeah. Well, and this is no joke, folks. Let me give a shout out quick to Spike Ferriston, because he's really taken a position on this and mask wearing and all that. Mm-hmm. I happened to look at the podcast and iTunes, and he's had a real influx lately of one-star reviews, people who don't seem to agree with that coronavirus is dangerous. For me, you know.
Yeah. It's I really would love all of our audience to know that, this thing is dangerous. It's still out there. Protect yourself, protect your family and your folks, like especially your, you know, older family members are very
vulnerable. So, Marianne from Gilligan's Island died of it today. Marianne, is that her name? Yeah, Marianne, the dark haired one.
That was her character's name. I don't know what the actress is.
Her name was, I'll forget now, but I think she was 86 or something, but otherwise healthy it's real. So anyway, that's our political.
But
it's not political. It's common sense. It's not being stupid.
That should not, that our position on this should not have anything to do with what our politics are at all. This is just,
no, it's an IQ test, if you want to call it something, but so your garage, back to your garage.
I do have a slight garage update. We were talking about our garages and sort of what was going on. I did for Christmas bought myself a present. I got one of those big Craftsman mechanics tool drawers thing.
Are they full of Porsche tools, or is it full of Porsche tools?
No. The only thing that's full of Porsche tools is your garage when we're both over there.
Exactly. Yeah. Well played. This is a kind of an official. You're dipping your toes into the other side here. You're not just a driver now.
Although my first foray into being a mechanic was not necessarily successful, but I kind of want to. I still want like I want. I want to still live the dream a little bit, and I want to pretend I could do something to it. So, but yeah, it's a. It was nice. It was.
Not to interrupt, but I can show you how to replace an air filter. That's about as far as my toes go into that pool.
Well, yeah, that's more successful.
Oil change in the pinch, or but
yeah. That's more successful than the last job I tried to do. I was trying to change the timing chain on a 2005 Toyota Sequoia, which I'm a little frustrated because it's not like I got thwarted by the actual job itself, but I just got to a point where I some of the bolts I need to take off to get to it are on too tight and I can't get them off. So I'm sort of stuck. I was talking to someone who was much more versed in this than I am. And he kind of explained that as a first time sort of swing at the mechanic tree, this was like the only thing a little bit more difficult would be like rebuilding the engines.
Well, right. Right. I mean, you have to like get like everything lined up right. And I mean, there are marks and special tools and
it's very easy to pull these parts off, but yeah, to actually put the new one on and put it on right. And there's so many things that can go wrong if you don't do it 100% right. So yeah.
I think we touched on this on an earlier episode, and you know, we came up with this business idea, right? You go around and you sort of solve people's problems, you know, fix their projects
and
charge whatever you want.
Someone drove around with a really well sort of well stocked, you know, truck with a lot of mechanics tools on it. I feel like we could get this thing off, but you know. But I've talked to a couple of guys who are more mechanically inclined, and they said that, you know, bolts that are on just too tight or just stuck for whatever reason, that's definitely the most common frustrating part about like working on old cars. So
can't you drill them out with a special bit?
Yeah, you could do that. I don't have any of that. So, but yes, that's what you would, if you couldn't do it any other way. I mean, I have a feeling that if I had a pneumatic, like, drill, you know, socket thing, would probably come off with that. But
think of the trouble you could get in with that, Doug.
I know. Well, that's why it's a slippery path. But now that I have the tool chest to put all this stuff in, so I probably need to know.
Lift comes next.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I give you credit because you're not afraid. I'm afraid to touch my car. You did it, and
it's, I did it. Yeah, I regret it now, but I but so, I did.
You know. It's well, like, yeah, it's like, you know, asking the girl to the prom. She may have turned you down, but at least you're not wondering, right?
Well, it's, you know, I admit I did it on this particular car because I made the calculation that if I did something catastrophic to it, it's not the end of the world. You know, it's an old Toyota Sequoia. If I completely grenaded it, I wouldn't feel bad about it. If I really cared about the car at all, I probably wouldn't have done it. So,
well, so, if the insurgents in the Middle East can keep them running, you know,
I know I'd be able to too. So,
wasn't the story about the guy, like he was like a plumber in Massachusetts, and you know, he traded in his old Toyota truck on a new one, and he ended up seeing it on the news with like the name still on the side.
Yeah, it was
number two,
CNN, and then he's like,
Get rid of any identifying features before your Toyota eventually turns into a Hilux and somewhere in a conflict zone.
It has an anti-aircraft gun bolted to the back.
That's right.
Rolling by a CNN reporter. You don't want that.
Certainly a timing chain can't stop you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's well, we'll see. I the new year, one of my goals in the new year is to, either get that thing running or just get it out of my yard altogether, get it out of my driveway. So I don't know which one it's either way.
Or just leave it parked there for 20 years and sell it for 50 grand.
Well, it's just, I've got to at least put it back together because it's blocking like the driveway in a really awkward way. So yeah. I got to get it out of there.
An orange cone out there. You're good.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. So I've been thinking lately that I kind of feel like I want to get the Toyota Land Cruiser is scheduled to be, removed, I guess, from the available cars in North America from Toyota.
See, I thought it was just the Lexus, or
no, I think the Lexus will actually still be available, but the Toyota, the actual version is scheduled at the end of 2021 to no longer be available.
Huge mistake.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
What are all the wealthy people in Denver going to drive?
Well, I mean, I guess the Defenders probably but it's they're definitely expensive. I don't think we would do brand new, but I'll tell you what the hardest thing to find is a lightly used Toyota Land Cruiser.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can go buy a new one, obviously, and then it's like basically whoever buys them.
A new one. It was 80 or 90,000, right?
Yeah,
or more.
Yeah, like it's about 88,000 regularly equipped, and And they basically, like, you buy one new and then you hold on to it. So the only ones I either see are either brand new ones or ones with 270,000 miles. Yeah. You know, and it's like, I kind of want one that just has like 50,000 miles.
Yeah,
on it.
That's a possible
one. So
that is probably one of the few cars I would buy new, though, just because of the value that they seem to. Well, not quite.
And we've contemplated GT level, but it's certainly like higher than I expected to pay for a car. But if I think of it in terms of like, yeah, but you might have it for 15 years with no problems. It's like, does it cost more than like 2.5 cars, which is probably what you'd have in 15 years usually, right? I mean,
well, you know, pretty soon that podcast money will start rolling in, Doug, and you know,
that's right. Well,
your oyster.
If you ever hear me talking about driving around in my new Land Cruiser, it's because we really made it here. So yeah,
you know, so those listeners, Doug kind of handles the uploading and sort of the back end. I do the editing anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, we may have checks coming in. You know, they're coming to your address. I just don't even.
Well,
we're getting a lot of haircuts lately, Doug. I'm kidding.
Yeah. No checks this week either. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Ryan.
Well, and on that bombshell, should we call it a night?
We should. We should. Let's sign off.
I didn't even get to massive. Oh. God, I'm gonna mess this up. Massive Hunt.
Oh,
the top of gear, sorry, the Grand Tour.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this real quick and then we'll call it a night.
Yeah,
we'll
talk about it real quick.
It's the same as it ever was, but it's still entertaining.
I find myself laughing out loud at it at times. That's all. I mean, if that's all it does, then it's successful. I mean,
still really well done.
Yeah. I mean, it did at times it felt like it's like your favorite old band still, you know, covering their old songs at a concert.
Yeah.
But still, I don't know. I still pay. I would buy tickets for it, and I enjoyed it. So,
yeah.
What did you think? The only part that made me cringe a little bit was just how badly that the Focus RS.
I hate to see
got hammered. Yeah, on that.
Yeah, trip. I don't want to give too much away in case you haven't seen it, but yeah, I do not like the destruction of otherwise good cars. But is it just me or were those treads that they put on? They're like made out of pot metal. Those are the cheapest.
They're not really designed for off-roading. They're designed for snow.
Is that what it is? Like, yeah, I could see like, yeah. And so your slow speeds.
Yeah. I mean, they look cool and it makes it look like a tank for a little while, but those are not really. And as it proved in the show, they're not really designed.
It's worth watching. If you're listening, you haven't seen it, check it out. I mean, it's just the same as it ever was. I mean, you know, you go back and you watch that when they were in their prime, that show was amazing. And it's not like they've, you know, lost anything. It's just that it's still the same thing. You know, that's a hard thing to keep going, but they keep making the shows. I'll keep watching. I'll keep laughing.
Yeah. I agree.
You know, I mean, it's still real to me, man.
I know. I still think it's fun. Yeah. I mean, whatever.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, Doug, go hop in the hot tub.
I will. I'll go. I'll go plop myself in there. But
don't fall asleep.
All right. So that's
cool. We will be back soon.